First to this week's federal budget, which promises tax cuts of between $250 and $1,200 for about 4 million Australians. What about those without work or in low-paid jobs who often turn to faith-based charities for help? What's in the budget for them? Casey Chambers heads one of Australia's major faith-based welfare organisations, Anglicare.
Definitely, there's an unfairness in the spending. We are seeing now that the tax cuts are going to be quite skewed towards the higher middle income. For example, people who are on a full-time minimum wage will get about $255 a year extra, which isn't going to buy them a lot. It's not going to help their housing. It's not going to help them if they have a dental issue. It's not going to help them with those kind of issues.
Well, the other main point that you, and I should say, not just the welfare sector, but the business sector has pointed out, is the failure to raise the Newstart allowance for unemployed people. Where do you see this rippling through the system to the sort of people you're going to need to serve?
It is very disappointing that we can afford to spend $158 billion on tax cuts, which are, as I say, flowing through to middle income, but higher middle income earners, but we can't afford to do anything with Newstart. This is the 25th budget in a row, I think, where we haven't seen any real increase. It simply isn't enough to live on.
What does it say to you that there is a unity ticket between the welfare sector, the unions, and big business, the corporate sector, about the Newstart allowance?
Look, I was joking, but I think the only person we would have to still get on our side is President Trump. It is an alliance of unexpected people. But it makes sense. I mean, we sit on a moral side of it. We say that it's not right that as some in a society do well, others are left behind. But even the economists can now make an economic argument about the level of Newstart. We know that people who have savings don't spend that. We know that people on Newstart will spend that money. It will go back into the economy. There's also the issue, of course, that people on even the minimum wage are now falling way, way, way behind. So we have this schism between people who've got a secure job with training, with career advancement, and those who are perhaps even working in the services that care for people who are elderly or have disabilities, or those working in hospitality and some of those more vulnerable industries. That's what's disappointing about spending a budget on something as individual and unhelpful as tax cuts. It's a lost opportunity to unite the country, to bunch people up more closely on that income bell curve.
Are charities themselves, welfare agencies themselves that do dispense public services, going to lose out through government grants?
Yes, we are. There's certainly nothing in the budget to keep up payments that we saw a few years ago to enable us to remunerate our staff better, recognising that it has always been lowly paid because it's been traditionally women's work. That runs out in 2020, and we saw no new money in that. The tables just flatline after 2020. We're also seeing that governments are not indexing the payment for the services that they purchase from us. Services like the NDIS and aged care, the price that government is paying for them very much falls below communities' expectation of what should be delivered. And we're seeing that come through in the Royal Commission on Aged Care, and presumably we'll see it come through on the Royal Commission into Disability. And I should say that was probably the one bright spot of the budget last night, to see that fully funded.
Just finally, Casey, anyone who's been observing the headlines, listening to the news for about a year and a half, knows that in the major cities at least, we have housing prices falling quite dramatically. Why are you still concerned about housing pressure? I mean, what are the budgetary pressures on families for housing that you're witnessing, even in a depressed housing market?
We're seeing that there's a depressed housing market at the top end, and we're seeing it in purchasing, but our rental affordability snapshot that we'll release later this month is again going to show us that for people in private rental, we're not going to see any relief for people. So people are spending up to 60% of their income. When you look at our figures for last year, anyone who was on Newstart or even a family where two people are working full-time on the minimum wage are not able to find affordable rental housing. this is a basic human right. It's also something that underpins our ability to flourish, to be, you know, the kind of society we want to be. And that's really why it's so disappointing to see such an individualized use of this surplus, where people on low incomes are going to get $255 a year. That's not a week's rent for most. It's just a lost opportunity.
Casey Chambers, the Executive Director of Anglicare.